Morning. Let's pray as we get started. God, we do thank you so much for another chance together. God, we do need you. And so to that end this morning, God, please just illuminate your scriptures to us. Please open up our hearts to them and to you. Show us more of who you are, more of who you made us to be. And challenge us to be that. God, please just fill this place, fill our hearts with your spirit. Please move me completely out of the way. God, as I open my mouth, may you fill it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. It's been a while since I've been up here. It seems anyway. I don't think it's been that long. But anyway, good to be here with you guys yet again. Last week, we heard from Jasper. What's Jasper's last name? Okay, something that we can't pronounce. Anyway, Jasper, Brother Jasper. Okay, but Brother Jasper. And he said something I thought about a lot this week. He said there's no transformation without sacrifice. And so I want to take a look this week just about sacrifice and the nature of that. And that is this impulse kind of built into humanity, and it showed up, you know, way back in these very early stories from this primeval mists of time. Y'all are familiar with this story in Genesis chapter 4. It said, now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Brought this sacrifice of the produce of his labors in the gardens and in the orchards. And Abel also brought an offering, the fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Who's heard the story of Cain and Abel? All right. Why did God not like Cain's sacrifice? Anybody ever heard any theories on that? Have a mystery. Why did God not like Cain's sacrifice? Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice but not Cain's? Abel brought this, you know, this sacrifice, this lamb, this butchered lamb, and Cain brought potatoes or whatever. Why did God not like Cain's offering? Nobody's ever heard anything on this, ever. No theories. Huh?
Nah. Huh? No blood.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I always heard. You know, no blood. There was no blood in Cain's offering, and Abel's offering was offering of blood, and therefore it was accepted by God. Anybody ever heard that before? Are y'all just not, I mean, for real?
This is our first time in church.
Okay. For real, or is it like you're just not into this yet? Yeah, there we go, because on the blood, the answer is right here in the text. It says, first of all, you get the hint here. It said God looked on favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? In other words, if you weren't a jerk, I would have accepted it. God did not accept Cain's offering because he was a miserable human being. How do you know that? What happened next? He killed his brother. There was not something mystical or magical in Cain's, you know, bloody lamb, or Abel's bloody lamb versus Cain's apples and potatoes. It was who they were and what they did and the choices they made. God said, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. If you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. The very, very, you know, this, like I said, these stories coming to us out of these mists of time, the very earliest parts of humanity, the impulse, the natural impulse has been to sacrifice and to bring offerings to God. This is a painting, a mural. This is from Zimri Lim's Kingdom of Mari, which is part of the Sumerian civilization. This dates to, this is a, you know, in the larger picture, you can see this is a priest leading a bull, leading a sacrificial bull. Okay, they're in the city of Mari. Incidentally, Simri Lim was concurrent with Abraham, right? Or within 100 years either way. Okay, this was about somewhere in the 1800s BC. And by the time you get to the first civilizations, your religion is expressed, especially in this area, but all over, almost universally. Your devotion to the gods, or your attempts to appease the gods, or your attempts to earn their favor, or your attempts to garner protection for yourself, or garner favor, or for good health, or for good crops, or whatever. These impulses, these urges towards sacrifice and toward offering have been formalized until you had a whole class of people whose job it was, whose lifestyle was oriented around managing these sacrifices that people would bring in attempts to appease the gods. Like I said, this guy, this was the Sumerian, not empire is not the right word for Sumeria, but the Sumerian civilizations. You realize that when Abraham, when he journeyed out, he left the land of Ur, and he journeyed out with his father-in-law and all these folks. When he built those first altars in the wilderness to sacrifice and to worship God, you think that was the first time Abraham had ever sacrificed anything to a god? No. This is his culture. This is where he was. This is where he came from. It's just almost universal in early human history, this notion of sacrifice. But as you get farther on into human history, God progressively reveals more and more about himself and reveals more and more of the nuances. And Isaiah 1, he said, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah." And of course, he's not talking to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's calling the people of Judah and Israel, you're sinful like the rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me?" says the Lord. "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me?" says the Lord. "I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. And when you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? You trample my courts. I have more than enough burnt offerings. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening." I'm sick of all this religion. I'm sick of your offerings. I'm sick of your assemblies. I'm sick of your festivals. I'm sick of your sacrifices. Now, we've talked about, kind of the context of Isaiah before, who he was talking to, the people of God, the Jews. So what types of offerings and assemblies and sacrifices and festivals was he talking about? He's gotten sick of stuff they'd made up. That's the stuff in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, the stuff he told them to do. Because I'm sick of it. I'm not listening. When you offer your prayers, I am not listening. Why? Your hands are full of blood. "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out from my sight. Stop doing wrong." You can have all of the religion. You can make all of the sacrifices. You can say all of the right words. You can come to church every day. You can pray constantly. It doesn't change who you are. It doesn't matter. God says, "It makes me sick." But wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. And come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So despite these earliest, these impulses within people from the earliest stories, through all of these cultures, the impulse to sacrifice and the impulse, towards religion and the impulse to try to appease or try to earn favor with God or try to, get God on your side. All of that stuff, all of that religion is pointless and is meaningless without a change in who these people were, all right? So were these sacrifices good for anything? What did God say about them? It's detestable, worthless, I hate with all my being. Okay? That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Why? Because these people went through the motions of this religion and they followed through on all these impulses and they did all of the stuff that was prescribed. All the stuff with the priests and the moon and all this. Yeah. Did it all. God said, I'm sick of it because you're jerks. So these sacrifices, this religion was a way for people to connect with God, but it had a purpose and it had a meaning. And that meaning and that purpose of these sacrifices and of these religious activities was to be connected to God and to change who you were. The purpose of all these festivals was transformation of the people, was to remind themselves of their story. The Passover festival, remind them of who they were, where they came from, and who they should be. Kingdom, God's kingdom of priests and holy nation, right? That famous one in Deuteronomy, read all the time, and I should have put it up here, but we read it just so dang often. It says, when you enter into the land your God is giving you, and you have the first fruits of the harvest, you bring them to the assembly of God and say this to the priest, repeat this. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he was rescued out of Egypt, and now we're brought into this good and great land, and therefore I'm bringing some of this produce to celebrate with my family before God. You're reminding yourself of who you were. That was the point of so many of these festivals. Remind yourselves of your story. So you don't think that you're better than you are. Remind yourselves of who you are and where you came from, of what God wants you to be. It's just empty religion. It's just religion. It's detestable and it's worthless. And God says, I hate it with all my being. Right? And when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Even in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, when it talks about the sacrificial system and compares it to Christ, it said this sacrificial system was just a shadow of what was to come. It was just a shadow of Jesus. It says, and you have priests, countless priests standing before countless altars all over the world every day offering countless sacrifices which can never take away sin. It never did. It never has. And you have our high priest Jesus, through doing what he did, has made us right and has fixed it all. All of these impulses were there to point us in this shadowy way to point us towards Christ. Mark chapter 12, this man asked Jesus what the most important commandment was, and Jesus said, to love God and love people. And the man said, "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there's no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And this is a man saying this to Jesus. And Jesus saw that he had answered him wisely. This didn't happen too often to Jesus, did it? And I can't really think of very many other places. I'm sure there's a few. Can you think of any? Where someone answered Jesus' question, he says, "Wow, this is wise. You are not far from the kingdom of God." Holy cow. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. God is one, there is no other but Him, and to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices, and all of the religion, and all the ritual, and all of the rules, and all of the regulations, and all that pales in comparison to loving God and loving people. But, so then, sacrifice. What does it mean to us? Obviously, it doesn't mean killing a lamb, you know, and splashing its blood all over the drum set, right? But is sacrifice part, you know, an important part of the Christian walk? Yeah, absolutely. Think about it in this way. Sacrifice is to give up something important or valued for the sake of other considerations. Is that something that is, it's not just an important part of the Christian walk, it's an important part of being an adult human, right? See, who's ever had to make a sacrifice in their life? Okay, anybody want to share? Huh? Somebody share. Do we make a list? Y'all talk more when there's a board. Come here for Travis. Mothers do it all the time. Okay. If Travis will hurry, we'll write mom. What ways do moms sacrifice? I don't see it, and I'm just kidding. In what ways do mothers sacrifice? They give up something important or valued for other considerations.
Huh?
Yeah. In what way? Yeah. Okay, you may sacrifice your body. What else? What about sleep, Tammy? Peace, yeah. Why do you do all this? Why do you give up so much stuff for your kid? Huh? Yeah, because you love them. What else is a sacrifice? What other ways have you had to sacrifice in your life? Or have you chosen to sacrifice in your life? That's it? Time. Thank you. Time. What ways do you sacrifice time?
Service.
Huh? Do you have to serve others? What else? What other ways do you sacrifice time?
I come across time that I would want to spend with others, and I let them spend it on their own if they ask for
that. Cool. Yeah. That's very wise. Okay, I don't know how you'd write that in a few words.
Yeah.
Did everybody hear what Kara said?
Yeah.
Say it louder.
Okay.
While I think of something.
You know, selfishly, I would want to spend all the time with my husband and my family and my friends that I could, but sometimes if they ask, or even if I can just tell that they need the time alone, sort their stuff out, and give them that. So it's sacrificing quality time.
Very nice. And the other consideration is their personal well-being. Okay, I hope all the wives heard that. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. My wife's great with that, too. And that's very important. It is a sacrifice. I never really thought about it in that respect. What else? What else do you sacrifice? Yeah?
When I was thinking about service, I was thinking about Miss Carol. She's in Indiana right now taking care of a friend who has terminal cancer.
Right.
Cooking for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has health issues.
For sure. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is. It is amazing. That's a very meaningful sacrifice. What other ways do you sacrifice? What about, anybody ever sacrifice?
I need to cut up a salad for my gluten intolerant wife to have for lunch every day.
So is that, what would that be? Your effort? The works of your hands?
I guess so. Some sleep, too.
Sleep, yeah.
And, well,
I wish she was here to hear that.
Yeah, really. Yeah, Chad got two spaces on here. Such a sacrifice cutting up this salad. What else do you sacrifice? Anybody ever sacrificed money? Yeah. Like, what sacrifice do you have to? I'm not just talking about Jesus stuff here. How do you sacrifice money? Do you have to make choices about what you do with your money for one consideration over another? Huh? So no one has an infinite amount of money? Not yet? So you may want, Travis may want, a PlayStation 4 or whatever. He may want that, but he has to sacrifice this resource, this money that would buy that, for other considerations so he can buy, shoes for his baby girl. What a grand sacrifice that is. What other ways do you sacrifice money? Do you give up? Is it valued or important? Is money valued or important? Do you either have to give that up for the sake of another consideration? Do you like to keep this $500, but instead you have to do what with it? Fix a car, buy groceries. There you go. That's much better than what I said. That was pretty stupid. Fix a car, groceries. Yeah.
Question.
Yes.
So how is this different than responsibility?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a very good question. How is it different than responsibility?
I mean,
yeah.
To me, I guess sacrifice hurts.
Yeah.
And when I think of sacrifice, I think of pain.
Okay. All right.
I might sacrifice my time for some of this stuff, but if it's a joy.
Ha ha. Okay. Alan just finished it all out for me. We can go home now. Yeah. But it is. Now let's stop. Okay. What would you want to do with your money besides fix your car?
Go on vacation,
have more fun,
buy more clothes.
What about something good?
Cut up more salad jewelry.
What about something good? Do you have nothing? Is that the only choices? Fix your car or waste your money?
Help others.
Huh? Yeah. There you go. Right? I mean, I know you guys aren't greedy and frivolous enough to the point that you waste all your money except for what the last dime that you have to. Okay? And sometimes you have to balance between two very pressing needs, right? Whether it be with your money or whether it be with your time or what you do, because your time is limited. Yeah. Once you hit about 35 or so, you start to realize that. And then you have to make choices. You have to, exercise your responsibility or your, you might term it sacrifice. Okay?
John.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, I don't know if this ties in with sacrifice, but it really applies to me because it's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. I remember her saying, her daughter said, "Mama, do you remember what that guy did to you?" And she said, "No, I don't remember." And she prayed that the Lord would help her to just forget offenses. Mm-hmm. And, I'm mad about not forgetting.
Yeah.
And, okay. Giving up that, overlooking.
Well, we're going to get to that, too. Man, you two just need to be quiet for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, you're ruining the punchlines. Okay. So, to address Alan's point of... Well, let's get sit down. Thanks. But should it, like Alan's saying, is God, when we talk about sacrifices in terms of our Christian walk, is it something that should hurt? And maybe it's semantics. Maybe it's you know, this word sacrifice can be talked about in several different ways. It's almost, we get to the point where if it's not really a sacrifice, if we can't show that it really, we really can't afford to give this, or it really changes, it is really detrimental to my lifestyle if I do this for this person, if I give this money. It's not a sacrifice, and it doesn't count with God unless it hurts, unless I flagellate myself, or it's the firstborn of all my flocks and there's blood all over the place. It really doesn't count. All right. Let's go to the text, New Testament text about sacrifice in the Christian walk. You know what it is? I plead with you, therefore. Huh? Yeah. Thank you. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That is a startling definition. You'll think about how sweeping that is, and how pointed that is, and how clear that is, how definite it is. Paul says, this is what you are supposed to do. This, bounded set, this right here, yielding yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. That is how you worship Him. Okay? Not this plus other things. He's saying, this is your true and proper worship. This is your spiritual worship. This is your reasonable service. That's big, isn't it? Offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So as Jasper said, sacrifice and transformation are intimately and irrevocably linked somehow. And in what way? Okay. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is your true, proper worship, your reasonable service. Kind of saying, this is what God wants you to do. This is what you owe God. And as we think about these type of sacrifice, we need to, kind of like JFK, we need to ask ourselves not what God can do for us, but what we can do for God. You know, it seems like we approach, and I know, you know, I'm guilty of it, definitely approach the scriptures with what can I get out of this? You know? And you owe yourselves to God. You owe Him this sacrifice. You owe Him. You owe giving this up. And when you do this, this leads to a transformation, the renewing of your mind. You start to think like God. And then you'll be able to tell what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. See what it all ends up. His God's will is good. You will see and you will know and prove that His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. This brings joy. So, what does it mean to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? Do we really have to get out the board? Let's have some examples. What does it mean to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? Die to self daily. Okay, what does it look like in practice to put others first? There you go. What else? What else? What does it mean to yield, to sacrifice yourself? Yes?
God's been teaching me a lot this year about, like, the fact that there are two kingdoms, you know, mm-hmm. and what we choose to spend our
What else? Anybody else? Those two are very intimidating answers. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not here going to beat that.
I was thinking the heart issues again. Uh-huh. I think that, you know, that I need to work on.
Okay. Well, let's just continue reading because he says what he's talking about. I just be shocked how often that happens when you don't just stick to a memory verse in the Bible. I urge you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So really evaluate yourself. Take time to actually think about who you are, the person you have become, the choices you make, and where your life is. Take time to think about that. Okay? For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So being a living sacrifice is not something we do solo, is it? We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So the first thing about being a living sacrifice we need to realize is it doesn't look the same for each individual person, right? We're all doing it together, but we're individuals in a collective. We need each other, but we need each other to be themselves, right? And secondly, well, think about this. We've all talked about these gifts before. As we read this, don't be, who is like frantically and stressfully thinking, man, what is my gift? Is that going through anybody's mind? Yeah. Don't think about that. I want you to think about this instead. Whatever it is, whoever you are, whatever it is that you do with your life, are you doing it with your whole heart? Okay? Not the question, it's not your role, not your particular, but are you throwing yourself into who you are, into who God has made you, into what God is calling you to do and to be? Are you doing that with everything you are? Okay? That's another step in being a living sacrifice. Whatever it is, whatever it is God has made you to be, are you, you do it with everything that you are. You be, basically, you be yourself with everything, with your whole heart. This self that God has made you to be. Exercise these gifts diligently. Cheerfully. Those are good words, aren't they? An invitation for an amazing life. A life that's meaningful, fulfilling, and joyful. Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Being a living sacrifice. I mean, sincere love for one another. Sincere love for God. Hate what is evil. And that's the other what Karis mentioned. It's not just about the good stuff. It's about cutting out the bad. And that's part of taking an honest evaluation of yourselves too. You know, we all have junk we need to get rid of. It doesn't belong. It can't belong. There's no place in our lives. Am I right? Hate what is evil. Part of being a living sacrifice. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. And honor one another above yourselves. Man, that's beautiful, isn't it? This is what God, this is being a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable service, is being devoted to each other and holding each other above ourselves. And that seems like that's a sacrifice. I mean, that is a sacrifice, is holding other people above yourself. That is giving up something of value, your conception of yourself as the most important thing ever made, and, you know, and yielding that over to the consideration that these other people are made in the image of God too. holding other people above ourselves is a huge sacrifice. But the amazing thing is, like I said, this doesn't happen solo. This happens in concert with other people who are doing the same thing for you. So you're giving up yourself for the sake of other people. You can trust and you can know, or you should be able to trust and know, that other people are doing the same thing for you. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. This is, you know, in the grammar of a command, right? So what does that mean? It means it's a choice. It means we can choose to want God. We can choose to want the things of God. We can choose to serve the Lord. We can choose this kind of life, or we cannot. We can pile up everything in our life and let everything else get in the way. We can crowd ourselves so much that we have no room left for God. And I don't need an amen, because I know that happens. Right? Or we can sacrifice. We can choose to give up some of these things that get in the way. We can choose to give up entertainment sometimes for the sake of God, right? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with entertainment or art or anything else. You know, I ride all the time. You might write, not write, I ride, drive in a car, drive. I drive all the time, in many hours a week. And I have, you know, this massive library of Audible books, right? And it's much easier to choose an entertaining book. You know, it just is. I guess that's why they're entertaining. And, you know, it's easier to choose an entertaining book that just absorbs your mind and your, you know, it just makes the day, it just makes the drive go faster. It's easy to stay engaged. It doesn't work your brain as much. You know, it's just like junk food. It's easier to eat chicken nuggets than it is, you know, a gluten-free salad, right? And not there's anything wrong with entertainment from time to time, right? But I can choose, if I don't consciously make the choice to do something constructive with that time, I find that I can just continually choose entertainment over something else that makes me, you know, a little less stupid, right? Never be lacking in zeal, because you have a choice. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, by being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Is it a sacrifice sometimes to practice hospitality? Not for me. It's easy for me. Yeah. Yeah, it is a sacrifice to be hospitable. You're giving up your privacy, you know, your time, your effort, your work to clean up or whatever. You know, mostly for me, the issue is your privacy. People leave me the heck alone. All right. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Is that a sacrifice, to not curse people who persecute you?
Yes.
Thank you. It feels so good to be bitter, doesn't it? I mean, it really, it doesn't, there's so much dopamine associated with talking about somebody else. Is there not? Is there not? Let's be honest. I mean, when you get two or three people, someone says something about this person that you mutually despise, and you start talking about how terrible, and they probably are terrible. How many people caught yourself having to keep yourself from smiling when you talk about how terrible that person is? That's how we build ourselves up, with tearing down other people. It says sacrifice that. It's obviously of value to you because you do it constantly. So bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, what does being a living sacrifice look like? I mean, it looks hard if we start thinking about taking these things seriously. Is all this stuff easy? If it was easy, he probably wouldn't have to tell us to do it, right? We would just naturally be the way we would want to go, the path of least resistance. But it's not easy. But is it burdensome? Is it heavy? Is it this dark, foreboding weight that you have to be this kind of person? No. That is a good life. That whole thing, that's almost a definition of a good person. Right? So I want to put you to put yourself on the altar, and I want you to excise all of this junk out of your life to free up enough space so that you have room for a relationship with me, so you can be, so I can make you into this kind of person. This is the kind of people that God invented. This is what he intended. It's a good life. So I always say this is the best possible way to live. Right? And we don't get there by thinking, how can I live the best possible life for myself? It's this inside out sort of life. And it ends up being the best possible life because we're opening ourselves up and pouring ourselves out into God and into those around us. And both those, God and the people around us, are doing the same for us. But so that's the sacrifice and the transformation all kind of wrapped up into one. But we need to ask ourselves, like it says, evaluate yourselves. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Are there things in our life that we need to get rid of? Things that we value that we shouldn't be valuing as much as we value? You know, if an alien showed up and observed your life for a week, what would he think that is really important to you? You know? Would those be the right things? We're invited to be transformed. Who needs to be transformed? Who wishes their life, some aspect of their life was different? Okay, before we go on, okay, just in case anyone wasn't paying attention, you can't see from up here, and you think you're okay, Lisa Long and Paul Chambers were the first two people to raise their hand when I said, who wants their lives to be transformed? Those are two of the best people to ever walk this planet. Okay? I'm serious. But what we're invited to is to be transformed into something better, into a good life, to the best possible life. And we need to cut out the junk that gets in the way. And to stop thinking about ourselves first and foremost and put everyone else ahead of us and trust that the people we form these relationships with are doing the same for us. We need to practice hospitality and seek ways that we can serve and that we can help. Seek ways that when we give up these resources that we have way too much of, that it can help somebody else. In view of God's mercy, that's perfectly reasonable. It's just amazing that what God asks us to do is so beautifully good, not only for those around us, but for us. This is the best possible life. So may we sacrifice so that we can change.